So I got asked about a month ago to speak today. Pastor Rick sends his love. He is across town preaching at the Church of the Nazarene this morning. One of the big things that we're trying to do in this community is build unity among pastors. Got to know those guys. I go to the prayer meeting every other Tuesday. Gotten to know some of the pastors in the area, and let me tell you, their heart is for God. Just as our pastor's heart is for the Lord. I usually don't get nervous, but I don't know what it is. Steve said he felt nervous up here. Man, I don't know. I'm shaking in my boots. I know. But I just felt convicted when I watched that video this morning. That if we are the body, what are our hands doing? What is our feet doing? It's great when we come here on Sunday morning, and this isn't a chew out session. This is an encouraging session, hopefully. That we are the body of Christ. And it's great that people come here. Last week, we had all the mothers up here. And some of you were healed. Some of you got a touch from the Lord. That's awesome. But how many people know our hands can go outside this community and heal? Our hands can go outside this community and speak truth. To give life to those who don't have it. If you'll turn to your Bibles to Ephesians 2. I'll give you a minute to get there. I look around, and maybe some of you guys don't know me. I'm Brad. I'm Pastor Brad now, I guess. So I'm Pastor Brad. I'm the youth pastor here at the church. We have a lot of awesome things happening. Is that mine? All right. Somebody. All right. I'm the youth pastor here. We have a lot of awesome things happening in youth. Let me say that again. We have a lot of awesome things happening in youth.
Yes.
All right. All right. I get to see it a lot. I don't know if you guys see it so much. But I think back to the last year of where we were. And I'm a look back kind of person. Where were we? Where we are now. You know, very reflective. If I always stay forward, then I don't remember what has worked or what hasn't worked. So I want to stay forward. I want to keep moving forward. But I also want to remember what God has brought us through. All right? We always make the story that we had one youth when we started. And she's fixing to graduate. So, you know, in a couple months, she'll be off of college. So, where are we now with youth is where I'm at. This year we have seen people come to the Lord. I was thinking about it this morning. I think we've had 15 people come to the Lord through the youth ministry here at the church. That's awesome. And by all means, they are not perfect people. And I say that we've seen the great and we've seen the bad that comes along with that. You know, we've seen opportunities that we have to keep ministering to kids. But their hearts are there. They want more. This last year, we started a program at the school with a Child Evangelism Fellowship called JYC, Jesus U Connection. We started a Bible study at the high school. After school on Tuesdays. First off, that's God's favor. To be able to speak and the Word of God worship in a school. We have youth group right there in the cafeteria, don't we? You know? through that, I've met like 7 kids. 2 of them now attend here regularly. Well, 3 actually. CJ's usually here. But we've gotten to pour into their lives. I have a sign up on the board upstairs that says, one at a time. One at a time. Because guess what? That's who's going to get saved, one at a time. And I look at these two, and from when I first met them to where they are now, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited about what God's doing. God's favor is happening. We tried a lot of things to start with. Some worked. Some did not. Some we just don't talk about anymore. We just push those aside and be like, that didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. But with that, we, I think, have figured out something that works. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we keep talking about it. Donald mentioned it this morning, how we had 30 kids at a campfire that we had outside. And 30 was the most kids we've ever had at a youth meeting here. And I was like, whew, we did it. You know, not that we did it, but God did it, you know. Because the only thing I did is I got on Facebook and I said, hey, we're going to have a campfire and food. Bring friends. And guess what? They brought friends. The thing is that I've been doing that for 2 years now. Is going on Facebook saying, hey, we're having a youth meeting, bring friends. And never happened. So, never happened. Never happened. Never happened. But this is what God's favor is that those who wait on the Lord and we stay the course and we keep doing what God's telling us to do, whether or not we see the outcome right away or not. Like when God's favor, kids show up. If our heart's for reaching lost kids, and I tell you, we got some lost kids. If our heart's for lost kids, guess what? We keep praying for them. We keep interceding for them. And God's favor will show us. But He's not quick to just say, okay, here you go. Here's a whole bunch of kids. No, He wants to see us what we're made of. I know that's how I feel. I feel God's been testing me over a while to see what I'm made of. To see if I got the goods to be able to minister to children or to youth in this area. This last Wednesday night, we had new people bringing new people. I think we had 4 kids there I've never seen before in my life. And I was like, wow. You know, the one girl has only been there twice. And she's like, oh, I brought 2 friends. They want to come. I'm like, sweet. You know, that's awesome. But once again, I did nothing. It's God's favor. Yesterday we came here and played basketball. Well, I watched them play basketball. Because I saw what they were doing. They're running up and down the court here pretty fast. And I'm like, yeah, that's maybe me 20 years ago. That's not me now. But I watched them. We had 14 kids here yesterday to play basketball. 14. 4 of them attend church here. 10 of them I just met yesterday. Why? Because we have a cool gym that kids can come and play at? Or is it because God's showing favor on what we're doing? I'm going to walk in His favor, man. That's where I want to be. So if you look at Ephesians 2. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of His of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now knows the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conduct ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loves us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That this is the age that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace, His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. A lot of different things we can take from that scripture. And honestly, this isn't what I was going to preach on if you asked me at the beginning of the week. I was like, hey, we're going to be in Hebrews. And I love Hebrews. Been studying it. I'm like, we're going to be in Hebrews 12 this week. You know, God doing awesome things. And Pastor Rick walked up to me Tuesday and he goes, what are you preaching on? And I go, that's a good question. I had it all worked out. I knew what I was going to do. But then God's like, nope, that's not where I want you. And I'm like, okay. So where do you want me? And He didn't really give this to me until Friday. Because I could come up with 1,000 points and sit there and go, this is what you need to do, go down the list. You know, I'm not about, I do have a list here, but that doesn't mean we're going to follow it. All right. In my youth group, I don't understand that because there's lots of times I have notes and then halfway through them, I just set them on the floor because God wants to do other things. So Ephesians 2, we start off and we wonder what we were, what we once were. Why did Paul bring this up? Who we once were. You know, we were dead in sin. We were influenced by Satan, controlled by lust, under God's wrath, is what that all said. I tell you, that's real humbling to realize that that's who I was. Why does he explain this to the church that he's writing to? I think so much so they don't get boastful, that they don't get prideful and thinking, hey, we got Jesus now, woo, let's share the good news. And they're like, well, that's great, but hold on. You're saved by grace, not because of what you're doing. It's amazing how many times in scriptures it says to be humble. And I tell you, we live in a society that humility is a weakness. To serve other people is a weakness. I think it's so good for us to be aware of where we came from. I think it's so good for us to remember that, man, I was once, you know, amazing grace to save the wretch like me. You know, I try to skip past that verse sometimes when I sing it, you know, because I don't want to admit that I was a wretch, but I was. See, I tried to do everything on my own power and tried to fulfill the lusts of my flesh and tried to fulfill the pleasures that this world has to offer. And I tell you, at times and seasons, there are pleasures that this world can offer. But if I forget that, and our ultimate goal is to reach the lost and bring back the prodigals. It's what we keep coming back. Now, if I forget that part of my life, then what am I going to use to connect? If I just say, you need Jesus because he loves you. No, you need Jesus because, see, I was a wretch. I was a mess just like you. Maybe even a bigger mess than you were. And God's grace, by nothing I could do on my own, loves me and has saved me. So it is a connection point when we find out how to share God's grace with other people. So what did God do for us? Or what did He did? He did. What God did. He loved us. He liberated us from bondage. And He lifted us and set us into heavenly places. See, I can remember that guy, but I ain't going back there. You know, the party guy who was the life of the party, at least I thought I was. The party guy, you know, who would do anything because everybody likes him and he thinks they like him, but, you know, I'd do anything on a dare. But what was it? I'm not going back to that. I'm not going to go back to that person I was to reach the lost. See, there is a line that has been made by the grace of Jesus that I will not cross over to be sinful. To be sinful. See, Jesus never went and took on sin Himself while He walked this earth to reach the lost. He was holy. He was all God. He was all righteousness. And I think so much we start thinking, man, I need to reach this young person. I know this has crossed my mind. I need to run. And you know what he's doing is not so bad. What this person's doing, not so bad. So in a way I say, hey, you know, you're not doing that bad. You're not doing that. But what I'm doing is I'm condoning the sinful pattern in his life by doing that. You see, Jesus not once condoned the sinful nature of someone's life. He spoke to it. We always go back to the woman at the well. He spoke to the woman at the well. He didn't sit there and he go, well, you know, you're doing the best you can with what you got. That's not it. But that, so much in American society, that's our mentality. Well, they're a good person. You know, they're not so bad. You know, they may not have God in their life, but you know, it's okay. You know, they're good. They're moral. They're moral people. They show integrity at work. But God didn't die on the cross. He didn't send Jesus on the cross for morality. That's a byproduct of walking with Christ, is the standards we live in. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from the sins of this earth. Why did God do this for us? And there's a whole book here that talks about why God loves us so much. That in spite of us, He still chooses to love us. We sing a song here, and, you know, I, not to take credit for it, but I wrote it. And it says, I, you know, and You love me, and You love me, and You love me, though You know me. He loves us, though He knows us. Thank God that He loves us though He knows us. See, He knows that person. And we know that we're walking in sanctification. We know we're walking closer and closer to holiness. At least we should be. You know, I didn't get any roll eyes or people, you know, laser beams through my eyes, so, or at my head, so no one threw anything at me. So we are walking in holiness, right? We are walking in the process of sanctification, right? Right? All right, so we are still made. We are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. You know, we're still doing that, right? Does that mean sometimes we stop for a minute and have to gather ourselves and go, man, the direction you want to? It's okay to slow down a little bit and work through things. It's wrong to do this and start walking backwards. To try to make up for God meets us where we're at. All right? How Christ did it through His special favor. How many people know that God has special favor for us if we believe in Him? Absolutely. How many people know what our part is? Obedience. Here's a word. Faith. And we could go on all day and talk about faith. You know, we can go on and say, you know, we just have to have faith in God. But until you get out of the boat, I'm going to trust you, Lord, with my next step. You know, I can sit here and go, you need to have faith, you need to do all this, but in the meantime, I'm going to live in my little comfort zone, and God never tests me ever. Well, that's pretty hypocritical, isn't it? You know, unless I'm walking in faith, should I share that we all need to walk in faith too? I think so many times we like to speak in people's lives what they need to do, instead of looking at ourselves and going, you know what? Maybe I need to practice what I'm saying here. You know? Well, you just need to have a little faith. And in the meantime, you're worried about everything that's going on in the background. I mean, am I in your world? Am I in your, where you're at? That's where I'm at. You know? How can I ask a young person to have faith, and in me, I'm worried about everything going on? You know, I'm worried about how my bills are going to get paid. I'm worried about, you know, well, God, am I going to have enough gas to get to work this week? You know, am I trusting in God and telling, or am I just saying, well, it's better for you to trust in God than myself? Sean Banson, the last time he was here, hit me up square in the forehead with the sermon he gave. That we are the products of grace. And I keep coming back to that. See, the only reason we're allowed to meet in this moment right now is because of God's grace on us. The only reason we're allowed to proclaim Jesus as our Lord is because of God's mercy on us when we were sinners. I think we lose that. I never want to take advantage of coming to church on Sunday mornings. I never want to take advantage of coming to church on Wednesday nights. I never want to do it out of routine. And I think it's so much times that we are creatures of habit. I wake up in the morning, I go take a shower, I eat my breakfast, I brush my teeth, I go to work, I this. But what happens if we wake up in the morning and we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? See, we are the workmanship of Christ. That doesn't mean we're saved through our works, and we're not getting in that whole mess of, well, it's faith with works, and works is dead. You know, I have that marked in here. We could go to that. But can we all understand that we are saved by grace? And the only reason we get to work for Christ is because of God's infinite grace on us. Can we all agree on that? All right. So we are His workmanship. Works do not replace faith. Works do not replace God's grace on us. That is how we're saved. But we are called to work. Anybody agree with that? We're called to work. I know that's a four-letter word. At least it is in society. I deal with this next generation, Lord help us, with work and work ethic. Why? Because it's not getting taught. You know, I had a kid at Kroger's, and he's bagging groceries, and he's fixing to graduate. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do after? Well, I'm going to go to college and do all. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So he's sitting there, and he's sticking stickers all over his face for the little kids. He's just sticking stickers on his face, and I'm just looking at him while I'm cashiering, and I'm like, what are you doing? A Vietnam veteran came through my line, and I said, you know, he's wearing the hat, and I shook his hand, because I try to do that with every veteran I see. Is like, hey, Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. And this kid has stickers all over his face. And he looked at him and he goes, how old are you? The kid. And he goes, I'm 18. He goes, what do you want to do with your life? And he goes, well, I want to go to college and do this and this. He goes, you know what I was doing at 18? He goes, I was going off to war. That doesn't hit you upside the head. In him, he had no clue what that meant. He's like, oh, you joined the service. No, he was going to war. There's a difference on how we're doing things. We've created a society of enabled people. Because we don't want to do the easy thing, which is teach right and wrong, to use the big word of discipline, because we're afraid our kids are going to hate us. I am here to tell you that Megan and I are on talking terms today, but some days that's not the case. Because I use the word discipline in my house, and I follow through. And I love you too, Megan. But there's so many kids who parents are walking on eggshells, like, how do I deal with this kid? I don't know how to, you know? It's real simple. Ground them from their things. Teach them right and wrong. That's why we're in the mess we're in. If you flip over to Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for equipping of the saints for work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of stature in the fullness of Christ. That's fivefold ministry, right? We talk about it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And I'm not saying this church does it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the church in Western civilization has created this mindset that we pay a pastor, we pay pastors to do the work of God, which we do. Don't get me wrong. We do. But somehow that passes responsibility from us. See, when we get into verse 12, it says he's given all these people, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I don't ask, and this is something that our youth group is just starting out because we're kind of fresh right now and doing things, but I can't do it all. I tried doing it all. It doesn't work. What works is when we commission the work of God out to other people. Delegation. You know? We have elders here who are the most... they are the most godly men I have met. And I've been around to a few churches. I've helped on some leadership teams. And I tell you, the integrity these men have surpasses every expectation I've had on church leadership. And I want to thank you, Kim, Steve, Danny, and John for that. I met with Danny on Tuesday, and man, he was on fire. He's on fire. I couldn't always say that. I've been to his house and he's kind of down in the dumps. But what is it? He's in a mission field. He's doing the work of God. So if Danny's in a nursing home, preaching the Word of God, What are we doing? What are we doing? And I think that's the case. I think, and how convicted I am of James and Amy right now. Man, they're doing it. They took the biggest step of faith that I've seen anyone. You know? Well, we feel like God's calling us to Texas to do this. Okay. And then he's like, no, we're going to Texas. You know, I was here and I saw when his mother passed. I saw how James interacts with his family. And he has a heart for God. He has a heart for God. And that everyone in that family respects Uncle James. Or listens to when James speaks. That's the only authority given in Christ. But he's doing the work of an evangelist, right? He goes around and tells people about Jesus. So I'm going to say we, meaning me, as somebody who's on staff at the church. Our purpose is to equip the saints. The elders of the church are here to help equip the saints. The deacons of the church are here to help the saints. Now, who are the saints? There you go. All you guys. So, for the equipping of the saints in the ministry for a full body ministry. We saw just a little bit of that a couple weeks ago. When we started praying for one another. And we're praying for healing. And we're praying for, you know, we limit that, I think, at times. Where we could go in, we don't have to meet on Sunday morning to get healed. Anywhere, right? I mean, plenty of times I've been asked to lay hands on people because, man, my back hurts. Will you pray for me? Okay, I'm praying, you know, in faith, you know. We're trusting that. I think it's time that we start putting feet to our faith. This is not a coincidence that we just finished on Wednesday nights All In. How many people were here for that? How many people been through that study? All right. If you weren't here, man, that is a challenging book. We're going through it with the youth group right now. And I tell you, All In. I mean, you know, the first chapter is about packing your coffins because you're not coming home for these missionaries. What are we doing? Danny's ministering in a nursing home. What are we doing? So I'm not telling you need to quit your jobs and go tell everybody about Jesus, everybody you can see. But I will say that you need to be open to what God's Spirit is doing. That the Holy Spirit, ask God, lead me today. Where am I supposed to go? And if you have questions about where you should go and you aren't settled, then probably don't go. Because a good judge is peace where you go. We walk in peace. I tell you, I don't walk in peace a lot at times. I try to hurry up and get it done kind of mentality. I try to do everything on my own, and it kind of messes with me. And it comes back to bite me later, you know. It just does that. It comes back to get me. Because I tried to do everything. Hey, I can do this. And then I come home, I look at Jody, and I'm like, I'm so stressed out. And she goes, because it's not yours. I'm like, well, someone's got to do it. She's like, really? And most of the time it's, no, not really. It's probably not even something that needs done. You know, just pray. Give it to God. He's given you enough burdens to carry, let alone trying to pick up everybody else's. Took me a little bit to figure that out. So we are the workmanship of Christ. And I did have other scriptures to go into, but I won't keep you long. I think this is where we're at. We just got through Acts, and how challenging is the book of Acts when you start getting in depth? You know, you had people that, man, every day, this is their life. And I think that's where we miss it. Yes, we have scheduled meetings to be here. Yes, you should come to the scheduled meetings that we have here. Not saying that. We do not forsake the gathering of the saints. But what's the purpose of gathering of saints? It's to encourage one another. Right? If you're waiting to get here because you need, you know, the defibrillation and get revived in your spiritual life, and the only way to do that is go to the church, then you're missing it. Because we're here to encourage one another. That means we need to be walking with Christ every day. That means we need to be worshiping with Christ every day. That means we commune with Christ every day. It means we intercede for one another every day. Just because we come together encouraged doesn't mean you can't pick up your phone. And yes, calling people is still a thing. It's not so much in the kids I deal with. But I text them. Hey, been praying for you. Hey, how's it going? I know you're going through this. Hey, how did this turn out? Hey, you know, be involved with one another. And then when new people come in, guess what? Be involved with them. Show them love. Make them feel, and this is the big push upstairs with the youth group, make them feel like they're a part of a family. We are. And I ask you to take advantage of this family. I mean, take advantage of the... I try to take advantage of much wisdom in this room as possible. Because I was sitting here studying today. I'm 33 years old. What could I possibly say to people who've been walking with the Lord longer than I've been alive? But let me share you... That's where I felt like God said, share your heart for these young people. I'm not asking you to go and be involved with youth ministry. Now, if you want to, that's great. By the way, I ask you to prayerfully consider it if God is calling you there. But we know that youth ministry isn't for everybody. You know? But my heart is that young people need fathers. Young people need mothers. Young people need grandparents. What a group of wisdom we have here. I tell the story about how many times I went to my grandma's house. No matter what I was going through. And she always had a hug for me. Says, I love you. And I'm like, thanks, Grandma. And then she'd always give me this verse every time I'm there. It's 1 Peter 5:7. And that's where we're going to close. Cast every anxiety you have on Him. Another translation is cast every weight you have on Him. And I think some of us have weights. And some of those weights are, I don't know what to do. Pray about it. Ask God what I'm supposed to do. I love you guys. I feel at home when I'm here. I hope you all feel at home while you're here too. And this isn't like a big theology, you know, I'm not sitting up here saying, you know, Pastor Rick and I, we get into some discussions and by the end of it, it takes me few hours to come down and feel like, man, my brain just got exploded with what God's doing and what God has done and studying and stuff. And it's just like, you know, I'm a practical guy. I think so much more about learning the scriptures is application. I think a lot of us has got this. You know, I didn't tell you anything today that you didn't already know. But what I do know is that God loves you. And He wants us to share that love outside these doors. And that will be probably what God will always tell me from this pulpit to tell you guys, is that God loves you and He wants you to share it to the world. Let's stand. Please bow your heads. Close your eyes. I don't know who's feeling this, but I feel it in the room. I don't know who you are, but you are adequate. That you have a purpose. And I think someone in this room has been struggling with that. I feel it in my spirit. So I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, and you have you have this thing where you don't feel like you're good enough for God, and you don't feel like you're good enough to be able to tell people about Christ, or you just don't feel like you're good enough in general. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. Those who raised your hand, keep your hands up. Raise them high so the Lord can see. Lord, we pray for these people, Lord, who think that they're inadequate. Lord, that you have given all authority to them if they believe in you. Lord, that they can walk in victory over this scheme of the enemy to make you feel this, to mess with your self-esteem, that you are good enough through Christ to reach the lost or to minister or to feel confident in yourself. Lord, we pray for these people. We ask that you give them courage and we give them boldness. And we pray for the other saints around to encourage them, to love them, that they don't know who raised their hands, but that they be drawn to these people. And we could start seeing the move of God in the faith that we have. We give you all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.